Start your week smiling with your friends, Kathy Zant and Michelle Frechette. It's time to get ready for some weekly motivation with WP Motivate.
Happy Friday, Kathy.
TGIF. Happy
Friday,
Michelle.
Oh my gosh. You know, that TGIF has never resonated as much with me as it does today. It has been one hell of a week. How about you?
Well, we just spoke a little bit and I think I ranted for like 2 minutes straight about everything I'm dealing with. And every time I try to record videos, my neighbor mows and he's got like the riding mower and then he's got the push mower. And it's like, you just did that section. Out. I'm trying to record.
Move to the
over
other
here.
Side of the house.
Please, just for 10 minutes. I just like need to re-record this one part. Yeah. So like that's going on. Stuff is not downloading from places. Technology is on my last raw nerve. And I think a few people are. So
yeah.
And
same.
Situations have been stressful. So I've been, I'm TGIFing pretty hard right now.
Yeah. And I am 100% there with you. I mean, anybody that knows me and follows me online has seen what this past week has been like for me. And I will say, like I've said to more than one person, I did it to myself because I like to remind the community that it needs to be fair and balanced, that it needs to have representation. And sometimes that means that you're going to all of a sudden have a giant target on you, and that people who feel threatened by equality, equity, inclusion, belonging, diversity, those people are going to counterattack. And I wouldn't say counterattack because what I did wasn't even an attack. It was an observation and a hope, literally an observation and a hope. And the very, you know, one of the first responses was to call me prejudiced. Another person said I was demonizing white men. Other people are now saying that I've accused people of being sexist. I never have done any of those things. I've dated white men. I was married to one. My father was, I mean, like, it's just ridiculous, right? Like, I am so inclusive. I am so embracing. I could just go on and on about that. But I
love white men. I do. My son is a white man. I'm married to a white man. But it's not like a, like I prefer to like only talk to, like it's, I don't think that is the issue, but there have been many instances in my life where I have been, where I end up being a spectator while, you know, I don't know if it's like locker room, like they want to talk more in the locker room, and I end up being like more of a spectator than a participant. And I'm not going to participate. You know, you don't want me around. You don't want my contribution. I have nothing of value to offer. Okay. I'll go someplace else where I do feel valued.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen to more and more communities. If people don't like just step back from where their connections are happening. And this is not to say that like white guys can't do the locker room thing, but if there's people on the periphery that are just spectators, it's up to everyone, if you're seeing a locker room moment happening, to like turn to the side and say, come on in.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
what's your experience with this? What's your experience? Mm-hmm. Have you had this experience? I will say that there are, you know, I've watched what's happened with your Twitter experience, and I try not to read the people who are being
negative,
who are letting their filters or letting their perception or their trigger or their reaction be what they lead with. I am celebrating those who are making their observations to and contributing to a conversation, because I think that it's worth having. It's a conversation worth having.
And there are ways to disagree with me without demonizing me, right? Like you can say, you know, and I will say, so some people have said to me, you know, Michelle, diversity looks different in Europe than it does in the United States. I can agree to that. It does look different in Europe than it does in the United States. However, and this is the big however, Our flagship events are not local events. They are global events. And I think they
Right,
should be
true.
held to global standards of diversity. And if somebody with a face that doesn't look like yours says, I don't see myself represented there, or I don't see myself represented enough there, you should listen to that because your white male face isn't noticing the things that my female face does, that other people's ethnic minority faces see,
Yeah.
that other people's LGBTQ status minority sees. Like there are, and I made an observation absolutely purely based on names and faces. I am
Yeah.
happy. I will be incredibly happy if I hear that some of those people are actually diverse in other ways. Great. That is wonderful. That would be awesome. But instead of saying, oh, we're going to publish statistics on that, so you'll be able to see that it's not always observable. Great. So show me some statistics. That's not what happened. I got called prejudiced. And I got told to just wait. And I will tell you, like, my stomach has been in knots a lot this week because I don't think people remember that I'm a human being too, right? And that the way they talk to me is they're talking to a human being. And yeah, I've got thick skin and broad shoulders, but damn it. It's going to need a little bit of boundary keeping and self-care for myself because I have blocked a few people this week. And anybody knows I don't block people easily on Twitter because I'm all about open discussion. But when all you do is continue to hammer at me about how wrong I am and call, accuse me of things that I haven't done, you've earned
Yeah, it's
yourself
tough.
a big old block. And then to be told by other people, oh, that person is saying things about you on their account now that you've blocked them. I'm like, I can't control what other people think of me. I
Yeah.
also don't care. Like, if that person is so racist and so misogynist, they don't like me. Well, I guess I did something right because I spoke out against the things that they disagree with, right? I spoke out against who
Yeah.
their core person is. And if their core person is a racist misogynist, then by all means, enjoy being blocked because I'm not going to engage further. And you can have conversations with the other misogynists and the other racists about what a horrible person I am for wanting equality. Go for it. I don't really give a crap anymore. I don't need to
This
be,
really
I
underscores
don't need to be everybody's darling. It's okay if you don't
yeah.
like me. It really is. Anyway, sorry I interrupted you.
It underscores something that and I have a hard time talking about race, and I'll go on gender. Like if I'm like the sole woman in a male room
Sure.
and I'm the spectator, I'll go on
Yeah.
about that because I feel I can speak. I don't feel like I can speak about race because I'm just, hello, very
A white
European,
person.
right?
Right. I
I'm,
mean, I am too,
yeah.
right? But
Yeah.
I have
But
projects though, which is different.
yes, you do, and you're closer, right?
Yeah.
Your daughter
She's
is
biracial.
half black and she's biracial. And
Yes.
so I feel like you can speak to it because you're closer to it. I don't feel like I can, but if I see somebody like we had someone in the Cadence Facebook group who said something about diversity and he got attacked. And I stood up for him because I didn't feel like they were making it, it wasn't fair. So
Right.
if I see a specific situation, but I feel very, so I have a hard time putting myself out there as a spokesperson, but I will celebrate those who do.
Yeah.
But it does underscore those of us who take a risk wherever they feel comfortable taking a risk where they feel like empowered to, like you are. When you take a risk like that and you speak your mind and you speak your observations, especially in something that's like got such a heated, why is everybody so hot about? I thought we were over this, first of all, but you run the risk of like being attacked. You run the risk of abrasiveness happening, and it's so hard. You have to protect yourself. If you're going to be in this, if you're going to speak your mind like this, if you're going to put out music, if you're going to make videos, if you're going to write anything, if you are going to put yourself into the world, there are going to be people who say that it is crap, that say that you are wrong, that fight you, that block you and say bad things about you. This is going to happen if you are. If you are a trailblazer and you are changing things, how do you protect yourself?
True. Yep.
How do you protect yourself?
Me personally, I try not to look at Twitter sometimes. So like I always have my phone nearby and I love to engage with people on Twitter, but this week has been hard for me, so I've been trying to set my phone down and walk away from it. I binged the 6-episode Bridgerton, The Queen's Journey, or whatever it was called, of Queen Charlotte.
Oh,
I
yeah.
binged that this week, right? I looked at that. I have been planning my weekend so that I am tomorrow morning getting a manicure and with a friend, and then in the afternoon I'm going to go out with my camera and take pictures because I love birds and I love to be outside. And even though I don't get outside my car often because travel, walking is difficult, things like that, but at least getting out there in the sunshine and having the opportunity to commune with nature and the things that I enjoy. And then Sunday is Mother's Day, and I'm just gonna enjoy time with family because
Awesome.
Monday is gonna come and it's gonna start right back up again. But yeah, we definitely need to not only self-care, but build the boundaries, right? So
Yeah.
like I said, I hate blocking people. I really like to be open for discourse, but if you're going to continue to attack me, I'm going to have to block you because I am a human being with mental health and I want my mental health to stay positive. I don't want to start to feel bad because, people hate me and that kind of stuff. And I try to develop this mindset over the years that, like I said, I'm not everybody's cup of tea and I'm okay with that. But to attack somebody, it's like there are people I could take or leave, right? Like, oh, it's nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And then like a month later, you're like, don't even remember meeting them. That's fine. You don't have to remember meeting me. You don't have to like me. But to openly attack me means that I have to put up a fence. I have to put up a wall. I have to put up a boundary because I am a human being with feelings. And so putting up those
Yeah.
boundaries, I think, is super important.
Oh, it is. How are you going to,
Yeah.
if you take anything? Well, the thing is, okay, so you've got the stimulus that comes in. Somebody says something or somebody blocks you. Something happens. This
Right.
annoying thing happens. And
Yes.
so Viktor Frankl talks about we put a buffer zone between our stimulus, the thing, our response. Like we get to choose how we respond and how we respond. How we respond to these types of stimuli are the defining moments of our life. It's the story you're going to tell yourself in your head. So, you can tell yourself the story of, screw these guys. They're just, whatever story you tell yourself, we can choose what story that's going to be. So, if we choose a story of this is just going to happen. This is just part of me being a trailblazer. This is part of me putting myself out there. This is part of me making changes. There's going to be people that hate it. And I am willing because I believe in this, no matter what, I'm going to do it anyway. And they are going to be drowned out by the people who are supporting me. And they're going to be drowned out by the fact that diversity is going to be considered much more, and that accommodation for accessibility is going, because you've been vocal about that too. You've been vocal about the things that you believe in, and you've had flack for it. But I think the flack is, I think the story we t need to tell ourselves when we're in a situation like this is par for the course. This is what happens when you change the world. I look at my daughter's really into Taylor Swift right now. So she's like been an example watching this absolutely adorable young woman take on the world. And she has been, her music has been sold to someone she hates. Like all of these things happen. And she is still just rising above it. And none of that other stuff is going to matter because what are people going to remember? They're going to make the di make, they're going to remember the difference that you made in people's lives.
I hope
You're,
so.
they're going to remember the difference that Taylor Swift, rising above all. It's just so inspirational to me because it's like none of this stuff is going to matter in the long run. But when you're soaking in it, like this week, it's like, ugh. But maybe we can Taylor Swift it and like shake it off.
Yeah,
We
that'd
can.
be good. I
Maybe
mean,
write songs about it.
I'd like a nice hot bath in hot water with like maybe some lavender or something. I'm done like soaking in the sewage this week.
Yeah. I feel ya.
It's hot too, but it's really stinky and it's so not good for you.
It definitely isn't, but I think time will tell you the story that the difference that you're making. I mean, you've had many people in the community looking at your conversation, looking at what you've said. Well, and here's the thing, just from my perspective, is like, you just make an observation, mm-hmm. but the observation got like other people's stimulus. That became other people's stimulus, and mm-hmm. their response says way more about them than it says about you. Mm-hmm. But you have many people in the community talking about this, mm-hmm. and you're elevating it to another level. You know, like I remember WordCamp Miami. Do you remember when it was, I think it was 2019, and it was like 51% of the speakers were women.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember this.
It was, I think it was when I spoke, I think.
And that's nice.
David Bissett, just, he makes that a priority. Mm-hmm. It's a priority.
Yes.
And this whole idea of merit, I've seen some things about merit. If you have two people of equal merit, two people who have the same stories to tell, two people who have the same depth of experience to bring to the table, and you have a speaker lineup, it behooves the people who are organizing to bring in someone with diversity in mind, whether it's yes. women or someone from a different mm-hmm. background or
right.
just a different cultural perspective. And this means, like, if you're organizing in another place where, you know, white people really are a minority, like, bring some white people in, you know, just mm-hmm. yeah, balancing absolutely. Out because WordPress is a global, it is a global phenomenon with a global market that we have, you know,
yes,
different perspectives. This is the thing that gets me, is like, and one of the things that I am really getting fired up about with WordPress right now is WordPress, our community has kind of been like our community. And we've got people who've been in the community for 10 years and people who have been telling like the same stories and stuff. And it's like, I am now conversing with people in different communities. And the freakiest thing to me is like, why is everybody using Showit? What the heck is Showit? I've never even heard of this as a WordPress competitor, but people mm-hmm. are building websites with something that I would have never seen if I stayed in WordPress and just kept talking to people here. Mm-hmm. We need not only diversity in terms of like people's backgrounds, but diversity in terms of what people are doing online. Because mm-hmm. if we just keep talking WordPress and WordPress's problems and why is Jetpack on my site again? And like mm-hmm. all of like the standard complaints you hear from people who have been using WordPress forever, we're never going to innovate. Innovation's going right. to come from different perspectives, different backgrounds, mm-hmm. different cultural backgrounds, and different ways of publishing online and different right. objectives of doing things online. Mm-hmm. So it's not even diversity culturally or heritage or gender. It's I think our diversity, I'm just coming up with this off the top of yeah. my head, but I think our diversity issues in WordPress are
yeah.
reflective of a greater diversity problem where mm-hmm. we have become, I think, a little too, and I love this community. I really do.
Absolutely.
I want to see it grow. I want to see it better. And I want to see different perspectives and different people who've never used WordPress, see what this is about. How can this better their voices online? And I think that we need that. So I think mm-hmm. that maybe this conversation is reflective of something greater that we all need to think about.
Yeah.
Soapbox.
Yeah, for sure. I know I'm on my soapbox a lot this week, for sure. But, you know, one of the things that I'm really focused on is not just the fact that we need diversity and, you know, across genders, across, you know, representation, all the things that we talk about in underrepresentation. But if we're going to continue to grow WordPress for the next generations, our focus can't be on what it looks like now. It has to be what it needs to look like. I think, you know, my daughter's 31 and she's almost older than the demographic I'm talking about, but she's socially motivated. She will look at two equal products and say, which one isn't, you know, testing on animals or isn't, you know, using slave labor or children's labor or whatever labor in their country. You know, when she and her husband looked for diamond rings, they made sure it was an ethically sourced diamond, not a blood diamond, like all of these things. And yeah. and she's just one person, but the next generation after her even is more focused on right. And yes, of course, there are still going to be racists in every generation. There are still going to be misogynists. There's still going to be ableists and sizists and sexists and just everything, right? But by and large, those generations coming after us are looking at our generation saying, oh my God, they're so messed up. Like, why are we only showing white men? Or why are we only showing white people? Or why is it only 25% female when we know that there's more than just male, there's women and non-binary. Why are these things not mattering? And so I think that we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot if we don't pay serious attention to how representation matters within our communities.
Yeah.
And our flagship events are the best place to see that or not.
Yeah. And can I, and to do it for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
Not do it because I can sense like certain brands just not in the world, not just WordPress, but certain brands who try to use diversity, but it doesn't, like they paint their picture of diversity, but then their mm-hmm. actions don't speak to, like they're faking it. And I mm-hmm. hate that because you can tell mm-hmm. it's like, all right, you're just trying to get clicks or likes or.
Oh yeah.
You can see right through it. So brands that are out there, even beyond WordPress, don't just be real about it and not yeah. don't try to like fake it. It's because we smell it.
Yeah, for sure. We do. And this week, our episode may not be the sunshiny, like things, our favorite things and, you know, motivational stuff, but motivation doesn't just have to come from sunshine and flowers and rainbows and kittens and the things that are fun to do. Sometimes motivation has to come from a place of discomfort. Change comes from a place of discomfort. And yeah. it's those things like my desk chair is killing me. I am so motivated right now to get a new desk chair because I need to be kinder to my sciatica. Yes, that means my ass hurts and I need a new chair, right? So I'm not going to buy a chair if my chair is comfortable. I'm motivated out of discomfort. And the same thing is true about how we're motivated to action. If we're happy with the status quo, great. But if enough people are telling you that they're not happy with the status quo, we need to listen to that because as a community, we need to make those decisions together.
Yes, so. Indeed. And comfort zones kill. Don't get too comfortable.
No, exactly.
You got to constantly be pushing yourself. I'm watching that with my husband right now in terms of just like he wants to be comfortable. And I'm sorry if he continues to be comfortable and trying to move towards comfort, it's mm-hmm. eventually going to kill him. I'll just be blatantly obvious that, you know, there are certain things happening with his physiology right now where comfort zones really do kill. It's not a platitude. Mm-hmm. So pushing yourself out of comfort zones, pushing yourselves to get into new environments where you have new perspectives, pushing yourself where it might hurt and be uncomfortable and not feel right. But if you want your life to be better, you have to move out of the comfort mm-hmm. zone. Otherwise, there's this dichotomy of, or it comes in on the same coin, sort of like the yin yang thing mm-hmm. where you have, if you go too comfortable, life gets harder. And if you mm-hmm. do the hard things, life gets easier because your comfort zone is someplace else. It's someplace Absolutely. Different. So pushing yourself out of comfort zones and pushing your, and you know, that locker room thing might be just like people who have insecurities and have issues with, you know, accepting new ideas because it makes them feel uncomfortable. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. If you can put that discomfort aside and let in new perspectives, it's going to mm-hmm. make your life maybe a little bit harder in the short run, but the long run is greater innovation and greater success for us all. And that's going to lead to a better community altogether and a better Absolutely. Environment. So
mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have a family member right now who I had to take for some tests on Tuesday. He's got congestive heart failure, COPD, emphysema, and now they're testing him for lung cancer. He hasn't smoked in over 20 years, but he's smoked for over 40 years. And you can't expect to make late changes and react after the damage is done. You have to be proactive in your health. And we have to be proactive in the health of a community as well. Because if we don't, those cancers will become evident years later. So I'm just going to leave it at that and say, I think that as a community, we need to hold ourselves accountable. We need to hold each other accountable. And as a community, we need to do better.
Yeah. It's for the good. This is
I love
insular
this
communities
community.
die. Yeah. And if it's too insular and if it's too much just the
Echo
same old
chamber.
all the time, if you keep yourself comfortable and don't allow new perspectives, communities stagnate. And I think the health of WordPress depends upon a healthy community.
Absolutely.
IMHO.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for the conversation. It's been a rough week, but having friends that I can talk to and vent to and that I know are in my corner is incredibly helpful. So thank you very much.
Always. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. We'll see y'all next week where we'll talk about maybe something happier, but time will tell. Until then, bye.
Bye.
This has been WP Motivate with Kathy Zant and Michelle Frechette. To learn more or to sponsor us, go to WPMotivate.com.